No transfer portal here. We're here to stay. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Second hour of the program with Faxon and John on the Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in with us. John, time now to talk NBA Finals. Obviously, it's the name of the game right now in the sports world. Oklahoma City takes a 17-point loss, and folks, it was a lot worse than that last night in Indiana. Tyrese Halliburton's dealing with a pretty severe calf strain to the point where he was actually questionable and ruled active a couple hours before game time. We were told he was going to be on a minutes restriction to an extent. He only played in 23 minutes, but he had 14 points and 5 dimes and was a team-high plus 25 in the plus-minus quota. Aaron Nesmith knocked down a pair of threes. He had 10 points, 17 from Nimhard, 16 from Siakam, but again, it was TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin as the two players that really just continue to set the tone off the bench for the Indiana Pacers. And John, I've stolen Charles Barkley's notion because it's accurate and I've repeated it ad nauseum throughout the course of the playoffs. Role players play better at home. And the prime example of that has been the NBA Finals. Something I do want to bring up before we get into the game or too deep into the game from last night. Oklahoma City, like a lot of people, so net rating is essentially how much you dominate an opponent, right? A lot of people, it's like run differential essentially is, and then you average it out, and the teams with great net ratings historically are great. And Oklahoma City had like the best net rating season in the history of the NBA because when they won in blowout fashion in the regular season, and they won a crap ton of games. Not hard to see why that is. So that led a lot of people to believe that this team was just going to dominate and roll over teams in the postseason. But John, I've got some numbers for you that would indicate that that's not what's happened at all, specifically on the road. So OKC is 10-2 at home, and if you remember those two, it was two miracle buzzer-beater losses, one to Jokic, and Aaron Gordon hit that big three in Game 1, and the other was to Halliburton, who hit the big shot in Game 1. On the road, OKC's been mid. They're 5-5 this playoffs on the road, and let me walk that out and further that point. If Ja Morant did not get hurt, up 27 points in that game three, they would have lost that game and they would be below 500 for the playoffs on the road. So obviously that's a moot point now because we have a winner take all game for the NBA Finals and they're at their home crib, right? Where they've led for a majority of the playoffs. But I do want to further this and just kind of articulate and walk out a little bit how dominant OKC's been at home and how mediocre they've been on the road in this series. At the Paycom Center in the NBA Finals, which is OKC's home arena, they have led for 136 minutes and 57 seconds, and Indiana has led for 2 minutes. Think about that. 136 minutes and 57 seconds that OKC has led at home in this series, and Indiana has led for 2 minutes and 55 seconds total. Then we go to Gainbridge Fieldhouse, which is on the road, John. Indiana has led for 94 minutes and 36 seconds, and OKC has only led for 34 minutes and 43 seconds. So we talk so much about the importance of depth. We talk so much about the importance of these role players because role players dictate series. I'll forever maintain it. You obviously can't have your star players play a crap series and survive and win. It goes without saying that those guys have to bring their A game to the table. But 9 times out of 10, who wins the NBA Finals is who has the better bench and who has the better depth than role players. And OKC's guys play like they're shot out of a cannon at home and they can't throw one in the Atlantic Ocean on the road.
Like, for example, you can overcome Jalen Williams' 16 points last night and his minus 40 plus minus. What you can overcome is Alex Caruso in 22 minutes giving you a whopping 0 points.
Right.
When in games that you have won in this series, it has been him coming off of the bench and giving you starter minutes at 20 plus points a game. That was about as shocking of a thing in last night's game for me. Was he? You're correct. You can survive some bad starter minutes. You can't survive 22 minutes off the bench and you get that.
I To be honest with you, I'm looking through a couple specific players right now. I'm using StatMuse for this because there's a player specifically that I'm thinking about that I want to make sure that my brain is not lying to me on. So when I come to this home road role player thing, John, the first person that pops into my mind who always pops off at home but doesn't do anything on the road is Aaron Wiggins. It feels like Aaron Wiggins has a magnet at home, and then he goes on the road and he's shooting like me in men's league. I mean, seriously. So at home this playoffs, Aaron Wiggins is shooting 45% from three, 44% from the field, averaging 8 points a game, averaging three boards, been a really good role player, right? They locked him into that contract last year because that's what they're anticipating. You're going to get production from your role players. But Aaron Wiggins, so that's in 12 games at home, he's shooting 45% from three. On the road, he is averaging 4 points per game, one rebound, 31% from the field, 23% from three. This isn't something I'm just making up. Like, there's statistical data to point to my points here. So Aaron Wiggins is a 22% less three-point shooter on the road this playoffs than he is at home. And the discrepancy is like this for a lot of the Thunder role players. So all of that leads me to say this as we're breaking down last night's game and previewing Game 7. It goes without saying that Shea can't turn the ball over 8 times in a game. Jalen Williams can't have the worst plus-minus ever recorded in the history of the NBA Finals. And he also can't shoot 0 of 4 from 3. Chet Holmgren, he's been the most impactful defender in the series by a landslide. He might have been the most impactful player overall for the Thunder if we wanted to just talk about on-off splits with how good his plus-minus has been consistently. But his offensive game is atrocious right now, and he can't throw one in the Atlantic Ocean. I get that he's nursing that hip. You need more from Chet. But, John, this is really just a role player game to me in Game 7. If the Thunder role players show up and do what they have done at home, which is shoot 40% from three as a bench throughout the course of the playoffs, they're likely to win the game. But that comes with the requisite, you know, Shea has to be Shea, and J-Dub has to be J-Dub, and Chet's got to give you a little bit more on offense, even if it's on a bum hip. Brother, it's Game 7. Shoot them up with whatever you got to shoot them up with.
Yeah, we talk about depth. Just came across this stat from the Indiana Pacers social account that they are the first team in NBA history to have 8 players score 200 plus points in a single postseason. The first team in NBA history to have 8 players score 200 plus points in a single postseason.
How many records are they going to break for one postseason with like anomalies and crazy stat? Like, this team is so good. Like, they're so good. They really are.
And they are truly embodied the term team.
Yeah, they are. They're a team. Wow. 8 players with 200-plus points. So I'm guessing, that's Siakam, Nesmith, Turner, Nimhard, Halliburton. I would guess McConnell, Mathurin, and Obi Toppin are those 8.
I would assume, yes. Wow. They didn't give out the 8 specifically, but yes, those would, I would assume, would be the 8.
That's crazy.
And you talk about, you know, bench guys. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night with really only 2 productive guys on the bench.
Yeah.
Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell.
Oh, Mathurin stunk.
Mathurin was awful. Ever since I came on here a few days ago and praised his 20-something point performance off of the bench, he has been atrocious.
Yeah. That's...
He has to turn this around in Game 7. He has to be a factor. He has to be a factor on Sunday night.
He does.
He cannot give you this type of a performance.
You need Mathurin to just not... And I'm not trying to diss the guy because I joke with my... I call him Jonathan Kuminga East, where you're getting the best player on the floor or you're getting the worst player on the floor and there's no in-between, and he has like a 40-game IQ, but sometimes he just has the bag and the skill set to where he can out-athlete everybody on the court. And that's what happened when he got on a heater going in Game 3, right? But the problem I have with this prototype of players is consistency. You can't bank on a guy like Benedict Mathurin to give you consistent production like you can TJ McConnell. And guess what? McConnell's upside is nowhere near what Mathurin's is. Look at them, right? Mathurin's this 6'9 freak athlete that can get up and down the floor quicker than almost anybody in the league history at his size, and McConnell is a 5'10 scrappy dude with grit. But you want to know what McConnell is and what provides so much value to the Pacers? Consistency. You know what you're going to get every time. He doesn't have those crazy fluctuation games where it's on the road, I'm 20%, but at home, I'm 50%, right? It's not like the Aaron Wiggins thing. He's consistent. And that's the thing that Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell have provided for this bench unit throughout the course of this playoffs is consistency. Because you know what? Mathurin's not consistent. And I love Ben Shepherd because I grew up with him, but he's not consistent either. And he's a second-year player that didn't get drafted expecting to be thrust into the finals rotation
right.
2 years after his Belmont career was over. So, like, you got Tony Bradley on the court. He's never received consistent NBA minutes throughout the course of his career. You've got guys punching above their weight right now, and it's impressive, but you need that for just one more game to cement yourself in history.
And on the other side, I completely agree with this text we just got from Quez on the Adams Co-Roofing text line, 654-ROAR. Quez got in and said, not going to lie, this is anyone's series now. I feel like the Thunder showed up to Indiana looking like they had already had the series won and got their doors blown off.
Yep.
Too many guys who needed to show up who flat out didn't.
What are your thoughts on this? Because that was my main takeaway from last night was, wow, the Thunder look like this is a January game against the Magic.
The Thunder look like Steve Kerr in game 3 of the second round of the playoffs when they're down 12 in the second quarter.
Right.
That's fine. We'll just get them in the next game.
We'll get them game 4.
No, the next game is game 7 of the NBA Finals. What are you doing? The lack of urgency by Oklahoma City last night was shocking.
It looks like they did. I don't want to. It looks like they didn't care. Like,
yes.
I'm being so serious. It looks like they didn't care.
It looked like the Indiana Pacers were out here putting together the 2025 version of the And One mixtape tour.
It did. They were putting everybody on posters. You see Siakam? Siakam's catching body bag jams.
You got Tyrese Halliburton doing 360 passes in the air. Like they didn't just get their brains beat in Oklahoma City the last time out.
Man.
Resilience. I was shocked at just the lack of urgency from everybody up and down the Thunder organization. I mean, even coaching, there was no urgency. Let's walk down here, we'll chuck up some threes, ball around a little bit. Oh, crap, we turned it over again. It was so unserious.
Yeah.
And they turned it up in the fourth quarter to make the scoreline look a little more respectable, but that was never a close game. Was it a 30-point margin at the end of the third?
Yeah, it was.
It was a 30-point margin?
They were down, they gave up an 18-3 run to end the first half, and I kid you not, everybody in America knew the game was over. This was over.
They were
the
first ones to know.
Yeah, this was the middle of the second quarter, and the Pacers went on one of their magnet ball runs, and it was night-night. Like, there was nothing the Thunder could do. The Pacers couldn't miss. They went on one of those runs that they've had multiple times this postseason where there was 6 minutes where they couldn't miss, and instead of getting up off the mat and competing and trying to, weather the storm, OKC just laid down on the mat and repeatedly got punched in the mouth for 15 minutes. That's what happened. They just took it.
Yeah, they did. And they were fine with getting punched in the mouth. It was so shocking to see that if you just turned it up, you would be NBA champions right now. You would be NBA champions right now if you showed up last night with some fight and some care.
I don't think this is a direct correlation causation thing, but somebody did point this out to me last night. Oklahoma City is 0-3 in the finals when Shea shoots less than 10 free throws and 3-0 when he shoots more than 10 free throws. Jalen Williams shot 15 free throws last game, and he shot 5, and they can't score all of a sudden. It's food for thought. I think the team gets unfairly officiated. Chris Finch agrees with me, for what it's worth, the head coach of the Timberwolves. Every NBA coach is griped about the officiating. I don't think the officiating has dictated or will dictate the series. I just thought that was an interesting trend, John.
When do we get officials for Sunday night's game?
I'm not sure. Please know Scott Foster.
I was about to say, are we going to hear Scott Foster's music?
I don't know. And that might be the extender coming down out of the tunnel.
Ready? There's nothing to extend.
ready for a legacy. This is it, brother.
Keep him at home.
Keep him at home.
We can't extend the season.
No,
we can't
Tony
extend
Brothers.
The series. We can't do it. This is it. Leave him at home.
No Tony Brothers, no Scott Foster. Please, for the integrity of the league, no Tony Brothers, no Scott Foster for Game 7. But again, Indiana takes game six, 108-91, and it wasn't that close, folks, over the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was a big-time win for the Indiana Pacers. They did a phenomenal job of maintaining their tempo, their pace throughout the course of the game. They blew it open in the second quarter, and they never looked back. We've got Austin on the phone lines who wants to talk some NBA. We're going to take an early break so we don't have to cut him off after 1 minute, and we'll get back to him on the other side. We'll wrap the NBA playoffs talk and get to Austin on the phone lines in the upcoming segment. You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John here on The Roar. Stick with us as hour number two continues right after this.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Another night on a lumpy mattress? Wake up, Greenville. Engineered Sleep's got your back, literally. For 90 years, they've handcrafted eco-friendly mattresses right here in South Carolina. On a budget, the Today mattress starts under $300. Hot sleeper? The Duo mattresses use cooling natural latex, wool, and have dual firmness. Sleep better, guaranteed with their 100-night trial. Engineered Sleep. Crafted locally, loved nationally. Visit engineeredsleep.com or stop by the Greenville showroom today.
It's bow time. At Bojangles, we don't serve nuggets. We serve big, delicious, hand-breaded crispy chicken tender bites that have real flavor. Order Bo Bites with your favorite sauce at Bojangles today. It's bow time.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
With record highs expected, you really need to partner with the experts at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Blue Ridge has design engineers that get you the most cost-efficient solution to meet your budget and comfort needs. And now through July 4th, save 10% off all cooling system repairs. Servicing Western North Carolina and the upstate for over 20 years, Blue Ridge Heating and Air is an Armstrong Air preferred dealer, proudly built in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Blue Ridge, heatingair.com. Blue Ridge, heatingair.com.
Coach Dabo Swinney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our 3 children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to 4-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it. But not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. HIMS.com/JOY.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
1-1, swung on, driven to left center field and deep. The outfielders look up. Agee coming back on that one. That baby's out of here. Austin Riley with a home run.
The only place in the upstate to catch Atlanta Braves games is right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
About halfway through the program here on a Friday with Faxon and John on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. We've been talking NBA Finals after a, I would say, theatric Game 6, but there wasn't much theatrics, folks. It was blowout city last night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Indiana got up 35 or something at one point and never looked back. The game was never competitive after the mid-second quarter, and the Pacers took home a blowout victory en route to a Game 7. Will be our first NBA Finals Game 7 since 2016 with the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors. We're going to go to Austin on the phone lines, who wants to check in. Austin, good to hear from you. How we doing?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys said about the effort from the Thunder last night. I don't see how many times you can have these lazy butt passes, you know, off of a rebound or off of an inbounds pass or something like that after a bucket's made, just for T.J. McConnell to freaking steal it.
yeah.
I mean, they know that he's just going to be a menace out there, and they just let it happen. So maybe it's just because they're young and they didn't care last night. I don't know, but it just seemed like they didn't care early. And you know, if Obi Toppin's making corner threes and rainbow threes on you, then you pretty much know the game's going to be over.
Yeah, those role players get a boost at home, Austin, for sure. But on your point about McConnell, I don't understand how Dagnall hasn't had like an individual conversation with the team at this point about just at least taking a breather. I know OKC wants to push the pace and run and get early offense, and I understand that. But at what point do you slow things down just even for a second to take a deep breath off an inbound after a made shot to avoid that casualty of giving up a possession to McConnell? Because the guy's got a knack like I've never seen for it. The only other person I've seen with success in similar plays is Jose Alvarado, who used to play at Georgia Tech and is now on the Pelicans. It reminds me a lot of that.
What's his nickname? I know they have a
nickname for him.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it.
It's something like he's got some crazy steals too. I don't know who I really want to win. The Thunder's track record in these playoffs after they've gotten, you know, blown out or a loss or something like that, they've come back and you know, destroyed their team the next game. Like they lost game one, came back and won by like almost 20 in game two. They lost game three, won a close one in game four. It was almost 10 points, I guess. But so that's probably what's going to happen here. They did the same thing against Minnesota, lost like game three or something, and then crushed them in game four and five. And then the same thing with the Nuggets.
Yeah.
They lost in game six when they probably should have won, and then crushed them in game seven. So OKC's probably going to crush them in game seven, but maybe not. This Pacers team's real fun to watch, and it'd be fun to see either team just because it'd be both the franchises' first championship. Seems like it might mean a little bit more in Indiana than it does in Oklahoma City. I got a buddy who's a big Pacers fan. He'd be great for him. So either way would be pretty fun. So definitely going to be watching Sunday night and look forward to hearing what y'all say about it on Monday.
For
y'all
sure.
Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. You as well, Austin. Appreciate the phone call. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to hop in like Austin. And, yeah, I think he's got great points. Also, on that Alvarado nickname, because of the backcourt steals, they call him Grand Theft Alvarado, GTA. So that's one of the best nicknames in sport. I never liked Alvarado at Georgia Tech. I freaking despise the guy. But I've done like a 180 since he's got to the league. He's a pretty fun watch. He plays the game the right way. So, but, man, him and Michael DeVoe, it was for Georgia Tech for those teams, and Moses Wright and Jordan Usher. Yeah, all Facts and Hatred players for life after what they've done to Clemson in McCamish Pavilion. It felt like you get those guys in Atlanta and they couldn't miss on that honeycomb court for whatever reason, John. So not a big GT basketball fan over here by any means. Anything else on the NBA Finals before we shift gears? I think that the Game 7 should be electric. I know we'll wrap back to a little bit of a preview with the Around the Horn in the final segment, but I wish I could give you guys a little bit more on what happened last night, but it wasn't worth watching after the middle of the second quarter because the game was over. It was a blowout, so.
It really was. I am curious, is anybody going to try to stop Pascal Siakam from getting a rebound?
I don't know, man.
Does anybody on the Thunder seem to care about getting out-rebounded?
He's been getting to his spots.
I know what you said earlier about you feel like Chet Holmgren's defense has been very good here, and maybe that is the case. I feel like he's kind of a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're just getting absolutely nothing from him in this series. And that those guys, in that Turner and Siakam are just kind of taking advantage there.
He's got a rebound. Listen, better.
It's going to be, they're at home, and you gave the splits earlier, and I understand they are such a better team at home than they are on the road. That was such a discouraging performance when you were four quarters away from an NBA title, and you've got Jalen Williams giving you the worst plus minus in NBA playoff history. You've got SGA, who, if he can't get to the foul line, I mean, he was 7 from 15. Okay. You got Lou Dort, who's not giving you anything offensively. The season was on the line. The MVP was non-existent. The whole team was non-existent. Listen, they're probably going to win at home, and this game will be kind of just lost in history. But, I mean, listen, I have said I am rooting for the Pacers.
Yeah.
I am now at a point where I'm now like spite pulling against the Thunder on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You want all the flowers to be the next great franchise in this league and everything's right there in front of you. But they're not going to hand you the trophy. And I felt like that was the approach. Was what time does the flight leave so we can make sure we're at the wherever we want to go party at? Now, you had to get on a plane to go back home because you got to go play another basketball game. Yeah, I think there was some worrying about, can we get a direct flight from Indianapolis to Vegas and be there by sunrise?
Yeah. They didn't seem locked in from the start of the game to the finish. Like, it didn't seem like they cared anywhere near as much as they should have for a closeout game of the NBA Finals. There was no urgency. There was no attention to detail. They got drilled.
And now you have created, through your own lack of effort, a situation where now you may be remembered as one of the biggest chokes in a while. Correct me wrong, they were the one seed out of the West, right?
Yeah.
They had what, the best regular season in?
They had the best regular season since the Warriors did in 2016 when they went 73-9.
And it could all be for absolutely nothing because you chose not to show up in a game six and you gave the Pacers life.
And now it's just, like, it's winner take all. It's what we said. One role player can end your season. Obi Toppin makes four corner threes again. Bye-bye. Indiana's hoisting the trophy in your gym because you didn't show up in game six and you didn't care.
Like, and now you have to explain to the fan base, how are you different than Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant?
Right. I mean, you're...
Now you have to answer some really difficult questions that you didn't think you were going to have to answer 72 hours ago.
Yeah.
Because you already crowned yourself as an NBA champion. Listen, I know this happens a lot in basketball. Last night was inexcusable.
It was.
And listen, you could come out and lose that game. Okay, fine, they forced game seven, you're at their place. And I don't think anybody would have thought negatively about the Thunder today. But when you throw in the towel with, what, 8 minutes to go in the second quarter? You showed up for one quarter in a game that was going to give you an NBA trophy if you won this thing. Nah, we're good. Embarrassing stuff.
Yeah.
I can't pick them. I just can't.
I want to pick the Pacers. I really want to.
Well, I'm going to. I'm going to. Spoiler alert. Going to pick the Pacers here. Because I think they are going to spend the next couple of days with the elation of we get the opportunity. Versus, I think Oklahoma City is now probably terrified of Game 7.
Yeah.
Terrified.
I would be a little bit tighter after what happened last night, because it's the mental of you just, like, Jalen Williams was on the floor last night for 20 however many minutes.
27.
And was minus 40. Like, how do you bounce back from that from a mental standpoint and be like, oh, yeah, everything's fine, and it's all sunshine and daisies, and we'll be all good.
We got
and,
this.
Yeah.
You could. So listen, what if Scott Foster doesn't get the call? What I mean, I'll joke aside about him. Like, what if you don't get the officiating that has gotten you here to where you get to the free throw line?
Yeah. I mean, we told you the Shea number, 10-plus free throws, the Thunder are undefeated 3-0 in the finals. Less than 10 free throws, the Thunder are 0-3. So the numbers are right there in front of you. 654-ROAR is the number. We're going to shift gears to some college football-related topics here on the Roar. There is an interesting article out on CBSSports.com. I definitely wanted to get some college football discourse in here. And this is from David Cobb, who outlined an interesting topic that I want to get the audience's response on. So get in with us at 654-ROAR. All right. I'm going to let John get this up on his computer as well. This is from David Cobb, a recent article on CBS Sports. From Bill Belichick to Rich Rodriguez, grading first-year college football coaches 2025 rosters. I feel like this exercise could be helpful for all of us, audience, me and you, John, as we're starting to shift gears into college football mode once again. I would say July is when you probably start to fully pivot your brain there. But I think one of the most interesting conversations, or maybe what's halted some conversations throughout the course of the offseason, is the fact that with a lot of these first-year coaches, with the transfer portal and the NIL era, let's be honest with ourselves, it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with who North Carolina's got when Bill Belichick's girlfriend's in the national news circuit every week. It's hard to keep up with what's going on at West Virginia with Rich Rodriguez because we just don't know, right? Like, there's so much roster volatility from a year-to-year basis. Jake Dickert goes to Wake Forest. Guess what? Washington State's got an entirely new roster. Wake Forest has got an entirely new roster. UCF's got an entirely new roster with Scott Frost. Purdue hired Barry Odom. They had mass exodus to the transfer portal and mass influx with the transfer portal. And then, of course, Stanford might be in the weirdest situation of everybody with a late firing and now have an NFL head coach in Frank Reich. So, John, my goal here of this exercise is to educate ourselves and everybody else with what some of the hot topics in college football this year, such as a Bill Belichick, are actually going to be working with on the field headed into the upcoming season.
My biggest question when I look at trying to figure out North Carolina football this fall. And Tar Heel fans out there, 654-ROAR, Chad, if you're out there, please get in. I am fascinated to try to see what he wants to do schematically, offensively. What is the plan? Are we going to be 12 personnel with two tight ends? Are we going to be more spread out? I'm fascinated from a scheme standpoint what North Carolina is going to look like. I like the add of Gio Lopez, the quarterback from South Alabama, was very good at the G5 level last year.
I like him a lot.
You do have Max Johnson, who should be back after missing the entirety of the season with that horrible leg injury suffered on the Thursday night opener of the season at Minnesota last year. So I think there's at least some intrigue in the quarterback room. Can you name me a skill player at North Carolina?
Like, as in, like, a wide receiver, running
back,
DB?
Wide receiver, running back, tight end.
Tight end.
Someone who Gio Lopez is going to either hand the ball off to or throw it to.
No. As of right now, I have no. I want to say that North Carolina had the most overturn in the portal of any team this offseason. So, no, I don't think I can name a skill position player. I don't know who they even have coming back as of right now.
That would make two of us on the show that can't name an offensive skill player at North Carolina. So, my point is, Bill Belichick is going to get all the attention, right? That's why you hired him. I think the quarterback moves were nice. Like, in totality, I think you can create something there. I think the defense has some pieces. You know, Price Yates, they mentioned him in the article, the pass rusher from UConn. makes some sense there. But I just do not know where the playmaking is going to come from. I feel like a lot of the names that we have heard, if you follow recruiting over the last few seasons that went to North Carolina that were prized additions, are playing elsewhere. Travis Shaw's now at Texas, I believe. I just don't know from a playmaking standpoint where it is going to come from. And I do still believe that Bill Belichick, the football mind, is as sharp as there is.
I
looked it up. I apologize because he was a good player for him last year. Kobe Paceor is back with the Tar Heels again.
Oh, Paceor hopped back out of the portal. He's back.
Yeah, at least what I'm seeing here.
Yeah,
and
Paceor's
obviously
decent.
It's covering the transfer portal, right? Like it could all be wrong. But I understand the excitement around the coach. I understand the coverage we're going to give the coach.
There should be.
And that's why you go out and make the hire. But I've also watched a lot of East Carolina football the last few years, and you mean to tell me that some of those guys that you poached off of that roster to come and start for this defense are going to take this defense to the next level and not let JMU put 70 on yourself?
I don't know about next level, but you're going to beat NC State.
Are you?
It's not a rivalry. That's what I was told. Those ECU boys.
Those guys, yes.
Those ECU boys are going to be ready.
Like, listen, CJ Mims was a very good player for the Pirates. He was.
But
last year
starter?
He had 4 tackles and 1.5 sacks, and now he is slated to be the nose guard in the interior of the defensive front for North Carolina.
Yeah,
I think that it could all come to fruition over time. But I think the talk of North Carolina flirting with 9-10 wins in year one is just too much for me. That's too rich.
I agree.
Now, if you want to tell me that they're going to go to a bowl game, sure. No problem with that. But I think anything outside of that, because I just like, what are you pointing to? An offensive line that's just filled with transfers? Jake Johnson at tight end, Max Johnson's brother, who we keep getting Max Johnson onto these teams because of who his brother is, but yet I can't think of one elite play that his brother has ever made. But he's now on his third school at being a starting tight end. I'm not trying to sit here and knock the hire on June 20th because that doesn't do anyone any good. But when I'm trying to project it in terms of winning football games this fall and looking at personnel, I don't see it. There's a lot of new pieces, but are they better pieces? And that's what I don't know.
When I look at North Carolina, and we're going to take a quick break on the program and hop back into this discourse on the other side. When I look at North Carolina, I almost feel like the strongest selling point for buying into this team is the schedule, which sucks because I hate doing that and I hate basing opinions based on the schedule. The schedule is very advantageous. The issue with acknowledging the fact that that's advantageous is we have no sort of idea or even, you know, people that are sitting here telling you and making projections that they know what's going to happen with North Carolina football this year are lying to you. Let me just come out and say that, number one. Nobody knows what's going to happen with North Carolina football. And number two, we can think the schedule looks advantageous on paper, but we have no barometer for what the quality of this North Carolina team is actually going to look like. So I can sit here and think that North Carolina is going to be a 7-8 win football team, which, gun to head, that's probably my opinion right now, is 7-5 or 8-4. And I could sit and go through the schedule and talk about Charlotte and Richmond and UCF and Virginia and Stanford and Wake Forest. And yeah, that looks like 7 really freaking winnable games right off the rip, but we don't know. We also haven't seen Gio Lopez, who I believe is going to be good, take that leap to the P4 level. These quarterbacks that come from G5s aren't auto, just slot them in and they're going to be superstars, right? Not saying that Lopez isn't going to be a good player, because I believe him to be, but I don't like talking in absolutes at this time in the calendar. And with North Carolina, I'm not sure how you can be confident in any projection to date, John, so I agree with you. Let's roll through this schedule and start to get to some of these other teams with new and revamped rosters with first-year head coaches out of the transfer portal. We're talking college football for the remainder of the hour here on The Roar with Faxon and John. Stick with us.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson & Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pyramid Dairy Road or online at MahindraofAnderson.com.
Extended through June 30th. Buy the house and reset your rate later with Mortgage Reset from Founders Federal Credit Union. Open a new mortgage or refinance and get the lowest rate you qualify for now. Set up direct deposit, and then you can reset your rate once for free anytime rates drop during the life of your loan at no additional cost. Visit foundersfcu.com/mortgage to learn more or start your application.
Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Equal housing lender. Institution NMLS identifier number 410646.
Hey, ladies. Mark your calendars for the 16th Dabo Swinney Ladies Clinic, presented by The Roar. Join us on Saturday, July 19th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 2025 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 40 amazing vendors. Registration is open until Friday, June 27th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. You can register at dabosallinteam.com. That's dabosallinteam.com. Go Tigers. See y'all in July.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
It's the final segment of hour number two here on a Friday with Faxon and John here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. About an hour plus left in the week on the show. John, we've been talking through this article on CBSSports.com from David Cobb, who typically does a great job, from Bill Belichick to Rich Rodriguez, grading first-year college football coaches' rosters. We're not necessarily rolling through the article doing that exercise. I'm not infatuated with the grade. I honestly want to use this as more of like an informative segment and opportunity, John, to get us up to date and our audience up to date with what's going on in the crazy portal landscape, because that's going to take a lot of our time and allocation off the air with prepping for these shows in the coming months, is figuring out, oh, he was at Texas A&M, yep, now he's playing for Virginia Tech. And oh, he was playing at, you know, this D2, well, now he's one of the most underrated transfers in the country, and he's playing for TCU, right? So that's what our next couple of months are going to look like off the air. We're starting to do some homework right here, rolling through this article with some first-year head coaches, which are always very difficult to gauge what expectations are, what do we anticipate from the scheme, the roster, etc. And another name that comes to mind, Old Rich Rodriguez is back in Morgantown at West Virginia. This article has given them a B grade, admittedly. I don't know much about what happened in West Virginia's offseason with the transfer portal. Once again, there's 134 teams. It's impossible to keep up with who's made each and every move. But they seem to think that this guy's got a pretty good class up there in Morgantown for year one. It's a top 30 portal class. They've got a couple impact players, some returners. Where are you at on the Mountaineers?
They were active. Is what I will give them. They were active. In terms of quality ads, remains to be seen. I think that this is going to be a couple years of turnover. Because you're going from Neil Brown, and then you had Dana Holgorsen before him, and those were very pass, especially under Dana, but more pass-happy offenses, spread it out, doing those kinds of things. Rich Rodriguez is going to take things back to the way they need to be done at Morgantown. The problem is he does not have the personnel in which to do it. I think White and Hubbard is an okay running back pairing, but you're going to need both of those guys over the course of the season. I think the biggest issue that I have right now when I look at this team is who's going to play quarterback. Because right now, I don't think they have a good one on the roster.
Yeah.
You have Texas A&M and Fresno State transfer Jalen Henderson competing with Nico Marchial, who was there in the last couple years. This guy was nothing more than a backup, I guess. He was in 23 at Texas A&M. Jalen Henderson at 715 yards passing and 100 yards rushing. So has not played a ton of football in his days. I think because when you watch a Rich Rodriguez-led offense, it's all about the quarterback. It's about the quarterback run game. And I just don't know if these guys are it in terms of pulling it off.
Yeah.
I think the hire was good. I'm still shocked that we live in a world where Rich Rodriguez is welcomed back with open arms to Morgantown, West Virginia. I never thought we would see the day. I never thought we would see the day where he would be on the sidelines in that stadium again. So I think the vibes are good. I think everyone is kind of understanding of what the rebuild is going, of the work that's in front of them. And I think the main goal for this year, if you're WVU, is don't come out and embarrass yourself. Don't fall flat in your face. Because I think if you can find some momentum here with Rich Rodriguez in Morgantown, like, you will get the buy-in, you will get the excitement, you will get the fan energy.
Yeah.
You just have to show up and win, you know, win some games. I think what would do him a whole lot of good, because of the date, it's on 9/13. Man, he's got to beat Pitt. If he beats Pitt in week three in Morgantown after the last time he coached at WVU, losing to Pitt, cost him a chance of playing for a national title.
Yep.
Like, you want to get vibes back? Because then if you have Robert Morris, Ohio, and then you have Pitt. You're at Ohio and then Pitt, which we get on ACC teams for going on bad road trips. Why is WVU going to Ohio? That's a bad move.
Yeah.
So let's say you come out of that stretch 3-0. You're coming into conference play. You go to Kansas. They're better than you. You host Utah. Probably going to lose that one. But BYU, I don't want to get into the why. They may not have their quarterback. And if Jake Retzlaff does not play this fall, the projections of BYU are going to be very different. I think Central Florida is going to be bad again. You know, I think the problem is they didn't get any really easy picks from the Big 12 outside of maybe UCF. You got TCU. I think TCU is going to be pretty good this year. Houston, they're going to be improved. Willie Fritz doesn't continue losing in year two. This is when you start to see a little bit of the turnaround. And you got Colorado at Arizona State and Texas Tech at home. You can make the argument to me that any one of those three teams could be in contention for the Big 12 title when it's all said and done at the end of the season. Schedule's brutal. I think if you could pick up like two wins in conference, so it's not just an embarrassing conference slate, I think that's fine. I think the only goal for the 25 season is beat Pitt. If you beat Pitt and you could see the offensive identity start to take shape with this team, then I think he can make some real moves this next offseason and make a push, you know, to be one of the top half teams in the Big 12 in 26. I think for me, if I'm gauging success for WVU football in 2025, be Pitt and figure out the offensive identity.
Yeah. I mean, this year, with all of these first-year head coaches, you have to temper expectations to an extent, right? It's the transfer portal era. It's the NIL era. You realistically can't fix things in 1 year anymore in college football in any scenario.
But which is so fascinating about this coaching cycle with some of these first-year coaches, you're saying you have to temper expectations. And I, for the record, I agree with you. But to show how difficult this is, the first school on the list hired the greatest NFL coach of all time with six Super Bowl rings, right?
Yeah.
You expect some results. West Virginia brought back Rich Rodriguez, who's gotten them as close to a national title as anybody ever has at that university.
Yeah.
The most success that you've seen in the last 30 years was brought to you by this man. Oh, and also, at UCF, brought back Scott Frost.
The national champion head coach?
Yes, an undefeated season.
The claimed.
So, oh, and then Stanford also just happened to bring in an NFL coach as well.
Yeah.
So, four out of the six here come with expectations upon arrival.
They do.
That's what's so fascinating about these guys in this season is you got a hire that immediately brought excitement. And I credit those athletic directors for doing so because that's what increases funding, that's what increases your NIL payroll and all those different things. But you're asking two coaches to come back to a place where the landscape is could not be more different than when they left. And the greatest coach in NFL history to lead a middle-of-the-pack North Carolina football program out of mediocrity.
Yeah.
And you mean tell those fans to not have expectations?
It's going
to
come with an inherent amount of expectations. I
mean, how can you tell North Carolina fans not to have expectations when the NIL payroll went from $4 million to $16 million? When you went from paying Mac Brown, well, I think he was making like five. You doubled it to pay Bill Belichick 10 and then his staff. Like the amount of financial investment that North Carolina has put into the football program, you do expect results.
Yeah. I mean,
these hires are fascinating to me.
You paid what, 10, 12 mil a year for Belichick?
10 a year for just Bill.
For just Bill. And that's coming
not the mil and a half you're giving to Michael Lombardi to be your general manager. That's not including what you're paying Steve Belichick to run the defense.
And then your payroll for your roster, which is upwards of $10 million, reportedly in the $14, $16 million range. Once again, speculatory, but it's double-digit millions. It's a lot of M's. It's eight zeros behind those numbers, regardless of what the specific number is for UNC's payroll. And, you know, looking at the talent level of the roster, I guess I just don't really understand where that figure is coming from. But
are you talking about with basketball or football?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Will Wade?
Yes, I did. And I got a couple minutes here. Great troll quote by Will Wade to accuse the people at the University of North Carolina for not being smart enough. Gosh, he is meant to be at NC State. All the prayers by the Wolfpack fans for years of give us one of us out here, your prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
You had an NC State basketball coach accuse the North Carolina staff of not being intelligent. I love this.
That's an all-timer from Will Wade, and if you didn't see the quote, so Vin Allen Lubin was the starting center this year at times. He worked his way into the starting role for North Carolina men's basketball. He's a really good player. He was really efficient. But Will Wade gave an all-timer, man, and I know that the audience doesn't love Will Wade. I love Will Wade. I think the guy's freaking hilarious. He tells, in a public press conference, says that they were too dumb to play him. Was the direct quote, was they were too dumb to play him because he averages 15-8 when he plays over 27 minutes a game. Then furthered his point by saying, so we're going to play him and he's going to average 15-8.
I also love the fact that there will be so many North Carolina fans who will be scouring every NC State box score over the course of this season to make sure that he hits the minutes played threshold,
yeah,
and that he does deliver on the point and rebound totals.
Oh, that was just absolutely hilarious. That was just absolutely hilarious from Will Wade. But on the football front, John, I agree that the expectations inherently do come with hiring a name like Belichick, hiring a name like Rich Rodriguez. But the next school on this list is one where there, I would say there's zero expectations. Obviously, you want to take steps in the right direction, but I feel like this is a school that is potential. And once again, not trying to throw any shots or anything along those lines. When you think of the next era of collegiate athletics and you think of these potential super leagues that are going to be formed, or the Big Two with people trying to rotate and realign and shuffle, and if you don't want to think about that, look at what's happened in the last 3 years alone, right? There's a next step in evolution to this, and we're going to have more conference realignment in the near future. I haven't seen Wake Forest included in any of these new conferences, new alignments. They're not even a blip on the radar for the majority of people that are talking conference realignment right now. So I guess my question to you is, I think they made a phenomenal hire in Jake Dickert. I think Jake Dickert can coach his tail off. I think this is about as good as Wake Forest can realistically do, given what the status level is of their program. And it kind of ran its course with Clawson, right? And it's not Dave's fault. We don't like him because he whines at the refs. But I can just take a step back and respect that he did a heck of a job at Wake Forest with the heights that he got him to. And I have an immense amount of respect for Dave Clawson's coaching acumen. I think he's a great ball coach. But Dickert's a little bit younger. He has a little bit better of a pulse on the NIL stuff. And he's going to be able to influx this roster with a little bit more talent. Now, simultaneously, Robbie Ashford's competing for a starting role as QB1 this year. So, like, there is some talent on this roster, and I would like there to believe that there's more talent than there was in years past, and you have a little bit better of a coach that's well-equipped to forge into the new landscape. But I also don't think that Wake Forest is in a financial position to be a legitimate power player at any point in the near future, unless something drastically changes from a wallet perspective. Your thoughts?
I mean, unless, you know, there's a big influx of cash back into Big Tobacco, I don't really see it here. I like the hire. I agree that there's not a ton of expectation here. I don't know why Jake Dickert loves going from difficult job to difficult job. Why you would leave Washington State to then leave just to go to Wake Forest. It's just so many challenges.
I did get a scoop on that from some of the folks I have up there that are connected. Apparently, Washington State could be homeless soon. And what I mean is, like, without a conference. Like, they're trying
and
to, like...
they can't round out the Pac-12 with football membership, yeah.
That's what... I think that's part of the concern, and, like, the messaging I heard on his decision to leave was the fact that they didn't know if they were going to be playing in a league that's going to garner, like, any level to get to the playoffs ever again. So maybe that provided some more clarity. I know we got to take a quick break. We'll throw it back to you, John, on the other side, and we'll talk some Demon Deacon football. We're running through first-year head coaches, what to anticipate from their rosters and expectations with Faxon and John here on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 15.